I know you guys are getting old by that, you know, you're taking a bit to heart by saying there's no time left.
Yeah, well, there isn't. I got a cut off in 45 minutes. We need to get this stuff done.
Ah, it's okay.
I'm sure Andy has as well in his new job.
I do. It's going to be in 45 minutes, it's going to be 8:30. My first meeting starts, so we need to speed this up.
The tea needs to be made.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Right, that'll do. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are joining us. And welcome to episode 104-ish of the Host Unknown podcast.
It's been 104 for the last 6 weeks.
The fastest podcast you'll listen to this week. Yes, we are up against it this morning. We've all got, well, two of us now have proper jobs. So we've got meetings and everything and then Jav.
I've got an idea, Tom. How about we record this in 2x speed?
Yes.
Then we can do a full show. We'll just do it quicker.
Actually, I haven't got the tech to do it in 2x speed. So if we all speak like we're Alvin the Chipmunk, then it's the same thing, right?
Is this the time where we break out that special supply you sent us, Andy, to get us like speeded up?
Yes. Guys, take vitamin tablets labelled emergency use only now.
And the gummy dildo, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll make me talk fast.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Gentlemen, how are we this morning? Jav, how are you?
Fantastic. And as you know, we actually got to meet in person on Monday.
Tuesday. We up on the Edgware Road. I mean, Andy was invited, but apparently...
I like that. I was actually invited, like, while you guys were actually there already, right? You're like, oh, yeah, by the way, shit, Andy.
No. Lies. You were invited well in advance.
Yeah. I was invited on the Monday.
I'm really busy. I'm out Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and we were going out Tuesday, It was fine, you know. But apparently, you've got new friends now in your new job.
I was actually seeing old friends from the old job most of the week. So,
what
category
does that make
do we fall
into? Friends?
You're somewhere between acquaintances and people that wind me up.
I will always think of you both as people I once knew.
Yes.
Who are you guys? What are you doing on my podcast?
Anyway, yeah, we had a great talk. We had a lovely. You had a chicken shawarma, as I recall. I had a lamb shawarma. Bit of shisha, it was good. It was so good. I went there the next day as well. I took an American friend who's in town. I took him there. Yeah.
Did he think you were really cultured?
Yeah, exactly.
You knew all the locals then, like...
He did. You know, the waiter was like, hello, sir, how are you?
Oh, dear. Didn't the American guy get freaked out that they were, foreigners serving you?
Yeah.
Surrounded by
foreigners. You laugh, but... anyway. But otherwise, how's your week been, Joe?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been great. You know, I seeing you two stressing out about your new jobs makes me feel so good.
You're getting comfortable, Jav. That's the issue.
We are having.
There's the man who changed jobs after 17 years. Yes, yeah. I've only been there 3 years, though. Like, you know, I'm not that comfortable.
And Andy, how's your week been?
Good. I'll be honest. I'm feeling a little bit hungover this morning. It's been a bit of a struggle. I'm not used to drinking. And we went to a very nice restaurant last night in Mayfair.
Ooh, which one?
Celebrated the last couple of years of investments that have been made in my previous role. So it's a restaurant called Hush.
You sure that's a restaurant?
Yeah, well, do you know
Sounds
what? It was
like
actually
somewhere else.
It was opposite a Victoria's Secret.
Oh.
Which was, interesting.
Yeah, who sell terrible underwear, apparently.
I wouldn't know. I haven't, I don't think they do my size, which is why I've never worn
it. I read a BuzzFeed article.
Okay, of course.
What can I say?
How was your week?
Yeah, good, good. Very busy as usual. Although I did attend the Lloyd's Rugby Sevens tournament yesterday, which was good fun.
You're probably getting back out into the CISO world. So
I know.
But corporate hospitality is flowing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But they had all, you know, it was had these sort of little, you know, temporary, I want to say tent things, but they're not. But they had rows and rows of them because there were loads of teams playing because they're teams from all of the, you know, insurers and underwriters and all that sort of stuff. And I was the only one from the company who actually went into the grandstand to watch some of the rugby. Everybody else was schmoozing and boozing, you know. So, but yeah, it was good. It was good. I came across some people who lived in Dover at the same time I was there at school and at the same age as okay. well. So we realised we probably crossed paths at a couple of school dances, you know, and things like that. Which is really funny. Yeah, but and then really busy today. So, yeah, I'm just going to warn everybody in advance that you won't get this until quite late on Friday, if that's okay.
Yeah, so everyone's okay with it.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Well, they're forewarned now, right?
Yeah.
You know,
if you disagree, say nay.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got speak the information up now, forever in hold advance, your peace. And they can work around it.
Yeah, okay. The yeas have it. Let's continue.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Indeed. So yes, we're all stressed apart from Jav, who's just cruising. But aside from how stressed we are, let's see what we've got coming up for you this week in this week's really short show. This Week in InfoSec highlights a plot hole. Rant of the week. Won't somebody think of the researchers? Billy Big Balls is a story about the organ that is attached to said Billy Big Balls. Industry News brings us the latest and greatest security news stories from around the world. And Tweet of the Week is a piece of advice for Elon Musk. And with that, we shall go straight on into our favourite part of the show that we like to call
This Week in InfoSec.
It is that part of the show where we take a stroll down InfoSec memory lane with content liberated from the Today in InfoSec Twitter account. And our first and only tweet, story this week is from the 15th of May, 2003, which is only a mere do the maths, in the Friends 19. Episode. The one in Barbados, part one, Ross Geller's laptop was infected by the Cornucova worm when Chandler Bing checked his email on it and opened an email claiming to contain nude images of tennis player Anna Cornucova. And whilst this was very much a real virus at the time and very topical, the version of the worm in the episode is obviously more malicious than the real thing. So it actually deleted his entire hard drive, including the speech on paleontology, which is what he was there to do. But moreover, the computer was actually a PowerBook G4. And of course, the Anna Cornucova virus was a Windows targeting malware. So it would not be compatible. So minor plot hole. In that one. But, you know, this is how it was 19 years ago.
Wow. You know, Anna Kournikova is now 40 years old. She was born in 81.
Jeez.
I cannot believe
she's
that.
She's older than me. I can't believe that.
Yeah. Wow, time flies. But, yeah, she's still married to Enrique Iglesias.
Good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's keep the football references out of this, Andy. Yeah, always a good one. Always a good one to go back to some of the old school worms back when virus researchers were true gentlemen, as Graham Cluley used to say. Thank you. That was this week's.
This Week in InfoSec.
You're listening to the award-winning Host Unknown podcast. Officially more entertaining than smashing security.
In your face! And from time immemorial, we've always moved on to this one next, so we're straight on to this week's.
Listen up!
Rant of the week.
It's time to mother rage!
So as we know, security researchers have been doing a world of good, to be honest with you, since for many, many years, for a good few decades. These are people who are actually who responsibly disclose vulnerabilities because they enjoy and they value the contribution they can make as they go around websites, they go around applications and check to see for vulnerabilities and things like that. And then they disclose them to the organization themselves in an attempt to get said vulnerability fixed. And in many cases, a lot of these researchers will either, you know, do it out of the goodness of their heart. This may be a side hustle, it may be, you know, a hobby, etc. Or even take very, you know, just some kind of a recognition or even, you know, just a bit of company swag or something and something, you know, a thank you very much. On occasion, and this has been formalized in recent years, on occasion, they will request a bug bounty. And in fact, now many companies are doing bug bounties, which basically means they've got a program that if people find vulnerabilities in their code and in their systems, they will pay those researchers according to the severity and the uniqueness, etc. So Apple have a bug bounty. I think Microsoft have a bug bounty. And I believe, wasn't a young researcher paid something like $100,000 or $150,000 by Apple for finding a flaw in one of their systems fairly recently? So there's been an uneasy sort of arrangement between companies and security researchers. No more uneasy than with the Department of Justice, the US Justice Department. And this is because they had, up until now, a policy that they would charge security researchers under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. And we saw this recently when a journalist was identified and was arrested and prosecuted for... what was it?
Viewing source.
Yeah, viewing source code on a website, for instance. Although, as it turned out, the person who decided to press charges was actually responsible for the department that ran the very, very poor code in the first place. Anyway, so they will, you know, well, like all good Americans, you like to sue at the drop of a hat, don't you, chaps? So...
Objection, Your Honor, that's libelous.
Yeah, well, allegedly. So I heard from a friend. So Andy told me the other day. So the US Justice Department, you know, as soon as they suspect something like this has happened, even if there's been no malicious disclosure, even though there's been no actual sort of exfiltration of data, et cetera, will still bring charges under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, which... it's terrible. It puts people off. It actually reduces security for the industry. It criminalizes an activity that actually can bring huge benefit to the world. Until very recently, the Department of Justice has said it will no longer prosecute good faith hackers under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. Well, blimey, talk about, you know, bolting the door after the horse has bolted. No, locking the door after the stable door after the horse has bolted. It's like 20 years too late. I mean, it's good. It's good that it's happened. Don't get me wrong. But why are they so behind on this? And it seems like the viewpoint of many lawmakers, and we covered this a little while ago, where we find that, you know, rapists and murderers may get away with, you know, 20 years or whatever behind bars. And yet if you press a button and, you know, help out in a distributed denial of service attack, you face up to 99 years in prison, which is, you know, totally insane. And so this sort of high-level persecution of security researchers, and not only that, but good faith security researchers, and you can... you know, it doesn't take a genius to work out, you know, who's a good faith researcher and who's, you know, a bad actor, as it were. And in fact, even the Justice Department have their own definition of this now. Those who carry out their activity in a manner designed to avoid any harm to individuals or the public. Well, we could have told them that 20 years ago, right? This is ridiculous. So, yeah. I'm going to cut this one short because...
Wow. Oh, so thank God you're cutting this short. I'd hate to hear the long version. Never in the history of podcasting has someone said so many words to say absolutely nothing.
What do you mean, say nothing? I've said that this is outrageous and it's 20 years too late.
I don't know, man. Like, this is like, how can you tell someone's intention? I think that's the biggest check. Yeah. This is going to be like... It's just a prank, bro. And like,
no, it's by their actions.
You can't exfiltrate
data and say just a prank, bro. Exfiltrated data.
My intention is to avoid any harm to individuals or the public. I just want an extra $200,000 in my bank account.
What? That makes no sense.
Exactly, and that's how lawyers are going to get you in a twist when you're on the stand, and you're going to be like, "But what? That doesn't make any sense." And then you're going to start crying like Amber Heard.
So what you're saying is, you're victim blaming again here. Great. So
you believe that Amber's the victim here. So why did we even go to court? Because like Tom knows the outcome already.
I don't know the outcome. I think they're both horrible people.
Oh, so now you're calling people horrible who you'd never met, never interacted with.
Yeah.
You know, just seen a few movies and now you're an expert on human behavior.
I called you horrible before I met you. I called you horrible because I saw your presentation. Anyway, that was this week's
Rant of the Week. This is the Host Unknown podcast.
This is going to be one of those shows, isn't it?
It is. Is that the end of the jingle? This is the Host Unknown podcast. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Got a stumpy one. I didn't realise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's
we call those the Andy ones. The Andy jingles. They're all stumpy. So.
No. We call them jangles.
Oh, dear.
All right. Let's go on to this fucker and these Billy Big
Okay. So, as our resident Billy Big Balls, this story is fantastic. It put such a big smile on my face. And you know how we always see in movies, there's always some good guy, like wisecracker, doesn't negotiate with terrorists, and you know, you feel good about him, like a John McClane type character or Deadpool or something. And so ransomware has been the plight of many organizations. It's just been like a blemish on the cybersecurity buttock for many years now. And it's always the same story. Someone gets hit by ransomware. Oh, we're not going to pay the ransomware. And then after 2 days of downtime, we're going to pay the ransomware because we can't afford the downtime and what have you. But the Billy Big Balls this week is the Bank of Zambia. They were hit by ransomware. And their response is beautiful. Not only did they not pay, but they replied to the attackers, the attackers will normally try to enter into a negotiation and they normally like, oh, okay, this is cool. If you don't want to pay us 50 million, pay us 40 million instead. But the Bank of Zambia posted them some pictures of eggplants, aubergines, dick pics, basically.
The emoji.
Yes. So they sent them a whole bunch of pictures saying, suck this and stop locking back networks thinking that you will monetize something. Learn to monetize. So I think this is absolutely brilliant. I wish every organization now would start just replying with dick pics to ransomware gangs and just saying like, hey, monetize this.
So what you're saying, Jav, is that institutions should respond by breaking the law and committing a sexual offence by sending unsolicited dick pics.
Yes, because then what's going to happen?
You heard it here first, folks.
The ransomware gang is going to say, but we use miners in Bangladesh, and now you've just exposed yourself to a miner. So you're going to get, not only are you going to get done for that, oh, this could go so far. This is brilliant.
Did your mother ever not tell you that two wrongs don't make a right?
Well, maths has taught us that two negatives do make a positive.
Oh, dear.
But okay, maybe find your own PG version of this response. But, you know.
PG version? What, your little finger?
Yeah. A picture of Tom. Oh, that's so offensive.
I'm many things. How very dare you call me PG? Oh, dear. Thank you, Jav, for that piece of unsolicited advice on how to respond to ransomware for this week's
Billy Big Balls of the Week.
Now it's time for something else now, and you know, maybe it's time to, you know, for Jav and I to now turn our attention to Andy, you know, give him a bit of a hard time. You know, we've beaten each other up now. So Andy, is it that time?
Jav, I think he's trying to tap out. But I will tell you what time it is. It is that time of the show where we head over to our news sources over at the InfoSec PA Newswire, who have been very busy bringing us the latest and greatest security news from around the globe.
Industry news.
Doctor accused of being prolific ransomware developer.
Industry news.
US government warns firms to avoid hiring North Korean IT workers.
Industry news.
Police warn of £15 million courier scams.
Industry news.
Digital skimming is now the preserve of non-Magecart groups.
Industry news.
UK government. Lack of skills, the number one issue in cybersecurity.
Industry news.
Personal information of nearly 2 million Texans exposed. Yeehaw.
Industry news.
Half of all IT leaders store passwords in shared docs.
Industry news.
Microsoft president says cyberspace has become the new domain of warfare.
Industry news.
CISA issues emergency directive for VMware vulnerabilities.
Industry news.
And that was this week's
industry news.
Huge, huge if true.
Huge if true. I have to go straight to the US government warning firms to avoid hiring North Korean
exactly
IT.
That's exactly what I was going to look at. Really?
Obviously, really? We know that there's been an influx of North Koreans leaving the country and emigrating to the US, you know, for the promise of a better life.
But given they're not allowed to leave the country, you've got to wonder how they got out.
I know, exactly, right? Oh, this is like... you know, like a hacker turns up with a really bad moustache, like a fake wig and stuff, and says, yes.
The clip-on glasses with the nose.
Yeah, I'm here to administer your IT systems.
Yes. My name's Mevin Kitnick.
So... Yeah. Oh, dear. This is brilliant. I mean, I can't imagine there's many people from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea on Fiverr.
No. Exactly. No.
What I found really funny in this, and like I'm saying, like, you know, correlation is not causation, but you two start new jobs, and all of a sudden the UK government says lack of skills the number one issue in cybersecurity.
I wonder why they asked me to do that survey.
Oh dear.
And this half of IT leaders store passwords. What, 46%?
I think there's a huge amount of people that are lying on that.
You think it's more?
Yes, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, the IT leaders infers people who are in sort of management and above roles, right?
Yeah.
You can afford the 20 quid a year for LastPass or whatever.
Yeah, but I don't know. I can see this happening, right, in a organisation where... You might have a high turnover. You've got some shared systems. I'm not saying they're going to be critical systems, right? We're not talking about domain admin. These could be, you know, just internal.
Anything. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But nonetheless, the practice itself is appalling.
It is, but I can still see it. Small companies, there's a lot of mom and pop shops out there. That,
exactly.
94% said they require password management training. 94% of IT and security leaders requested password management training.
See, I think there might be a nuance here. They might have said that because that's what it is, but maybe what a lot of them are asking for is clarity around what the organization's password policy is, because no matter who you turn to, you're going to get a different answer in a lot of places. So some of it might be...
If that doesn't mean they shouldn't be doing this sort of shit, though.
Well, horse battery stable.
Yeah. I mean, there's still so many systems that don't actually support shared accounts and what have you, and the interns.
Something like LastPass does.
Yeah, LastPass does. You're right. But
and other password management.
Yes.
Yeah. So until they start sponsoring us, let's just
let's cut it off there.
And are open to sponsorship.
Yes.
Oh, outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Anything else?
No, let's move on.
Let's move on. Short show. Which would be with you two anyway. That was this week's
industry news.
The Host Unknown Podcast. Orally delivering the warm and fuzzy feeling you get when you pee yourself.
And talking of wet pants, let's go over to Andy for this week's
Tweet of the Week.
We always play that one twice.
Tweet of the Week.
It is over to me as I click through the show notes to say this is a tweet from the Have I Got News For You Twitter account. And it is the news following, obviously, Elon Musk's proposed takeover of Twitter. Elon Musk wrong about the number of fake bot accounts, says current CEO at Twitter boss 483298873.
Oh, that one tickles me. I like that one.
Yeah. Well, it's really weird. You know, and I know this isn't the topic of the tweet, but Elon Musk is like one of those people, like a lot of people, he's extremely gifted in some aspects of life, but a complete knob in others. So, you know, it's like how he needs better people around him that can help him separate himself out from each other, so he doesn't go on Twitter and or whatever and say dumb shit and just focus on whatever rockets he's making or Teslas.
Yeah,
he's deliberately driving the price down.
And then he's going to buy it that way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, they were doing research in as part of his due diligence. He said they were looking at, you know, how many fake accounts there were. And they were going to take a sample size of 100 accounts.
Yeah.
Wow.
100. Yeah. That's statistically zero.
Carefully curated. But I'm surprised that, you know, even going through the diligence process, I'm surprised at how public he's been with everything he's talking about.
Because he's always been like that, right? Because it manipulates stock prices.
Well, that's where I was going to go. It does, is share price impacting.
Mm. Yeah. It's not cool. I mean, I was chatting to somebody over the weekend. In fact, it was Carol, our friend of the show, Carol Terrier. And was saying that just because Elon's done a huge amount of good, you know, he's changed the view of electric cars, the public perception of electric cars, and he's opened up a lot of the patents that he's had there. He's opened up those patents so other companies can use them and utilize it. You know, the drivetrain, for instance, and stuff like that. You know, he's revolutionized sort of space travel. I mean, his nearest competitor, Bezos, and his little, you know, phallic Blue Origin, is nowhere near as successful as what SpaceX is doing. And in fact, now with us not talking to Russia, it's the only way we can get in and out of the space station, right? and it's, you know, and is the other stuff he does as well, the Hyperloop, although I think it's more of a hype loop at the moment, but nonetheless, I think there's, you know, there it has got some legs in there. It's just maybe technologically not there. So he's doing a huge amount of good stuff. That doesn't preclude him from being a bit of a knob.
Yeah. I know you mentioned Bezos there, and again, we're going on segue. But, with all the tech stocks diving recently, did you hear that Saudi Aramco overtook Apple as the world's most valuable company?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is terrible, because that's a product, that's a company completely focused on oil production, right?
Yeah.
Well, Saudi is trying to diversify. Like a lot of the Arab countries, they're trying to diversify a bit because of the oil dependency. But yeah. Saudi Arabia also bought this week 5% of Nintendo.
What?
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so Princess Peach is going to be wearing a headscarf in the next.
I'm glad you made that joke.
But she's not allowed to drive either.
She's going to be... Oh, God!
Move on. Move on.
Move quick. On, yeah. Step away from the lawsuit. Step away from the Twitter storm. Excellent. Thank you, Andy, for this week's...
Tweet of the Week.
Well, we have, like Princess Peaches, come crashing into the end of the show here. A short one, a very short one. I think we're going to have to sort out our professional lives, or even perhaps start on time. That might help as well.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time this week. I hesitate to thank you, Jav, given quite how sort of querulous you've been today. But thank you.
Well, you're welcome for calling a spade, that's all I can say.
What? I think Jav is just hitting the auto quote generator in Google. Something like
you
that.
You know what, Andy? You know there was two of those packets of emergency use only. Which one was I meant to take before this?
Oh dear. Yeah, those those days are I'm talking like a long time ago. Do you remember when you could just like, you go out with a mate, you just hand them a pill and say, quick, swallow that. And like, they just swallow it. Like, no idea. So I did it to her. So it's like one of the guys when I was leaving work the other week. I did it one time. We were out. This is like years back. And I like gave him, I said, here, quick, swallow that. And without hesitation, he just swallowed it. So, you know, we're about to go into a place. And after it, he's like, what was that? And I was like, it's Viagra. It genuinely was as well. Oh, dear. I don't mess around with stuff.
And this is how Andy met his wife.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Do you know what? When people do that to me nowadays, it's normally a Nurofen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some X-Lax to help you. This will help you in the morning.
Yeah.
And talking of uncontrollable diarrhea, Andy, thank you so much for this week's contributions.
Stay secure, my friends.
Stay secure.
You've been listening to the Host Unknown podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, comment and subscribe. If you hated it, please leave your best insults on our Reddit channel.
Worst episode ever.
r/smashing security.
The shortest episode ever.
Yeah. How about a quickie as opposed to a what? So that's Stay Secure, my friend. You know what? I've like always said that since day one, right?
Yeah,
there's some guy on TikTok that says it.
What?
Yeah, there's like this... Yeah, he talks like some security stuff, and he always signs off his TikToks with "Stay secure, my friends."
A very intelligent, charming man. Have you done a
cease and desist?
I will do. Yeah, no, I will.
Don't. You know, although some people can't handle lawsuits.
Oh, please, just send one anyway.
Oh, Andy, how much do you want the monthly direct debit to be?
Javad the deck chair mallet. You can play us out now, Tom.
Tom? He's had a stroke on air. He's dead. Yes, this is the episode I was waiting for so long.
Finally, let's get to play it.
Yes.